Well, good morning. This is Kathy McCormick coming to you from my office at home. This is lesson number 10. It is Women at the Crucifixion. And this lesson has hit us at the right time. We're in a season of Lent, and we're going through an interesting time in our world. The coronavirus began months ago in China and has continued to sweep through the countries, causing illness and in some cases death. This has caused us all to stop our normal daily routines and think outside the box of how we to adapt to a new normal for the next few weeks. This podcast is one way. I will certainly miss seeing you guys on Tuesday mornings, but that does not mean we're not connected. We are connected through God, the Holy Spirit. Through our baptism in Christ, we are connected. Our spiritual connection is intact and always will be. It's how we celebrate that connection that we need to adapt. For a little while, anyway. So as we turn to the scriptures for this lesson, we hear in each of the four Gospels that there were women who stood at the foot of the cross watching our Lord give up his life. And in this season of Lent, in the midst of the quarantine due to the coronavirus, we join the women who stood at the crucifixion. If you will allow me, I will read all four Gospels so we can revisit these scriptures. So let's start with Matthew. Matthew 27, 45 through 61. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "This one is calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge, soaked it in wine, and putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him." Jesus cried out in a loud voice, gave up his life. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. Rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men who were with him were keeping watch over Jesus, feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. In reading the scripture, the words that stood out to me was, "Darkness came over the whole land." It's what we're going through right now, and when reflecting on these words, I'm reminded that the women at the crucifixion experienced that darkness. It enveloped them, and I'm sure struck a fearful chord in their hearts. But when the darkness fell, Jesus had already taken up the cross and been nailed to it. Once up on the cross, then the darkness fell, and for 3 hours, Jesus suffered in and for the darkness of our sin. So we can stand with the women at Jesus' crucifixion and understand darkness at this time in our nation's history. But we are a bit different than those women because they did not have something we have. They did not have an understanding of the resurrection. If I stay in this place of darkness and stand with these women, I can understand that feeling. There have been many times I stood in darkness, but in each time in my life of dark, in times of darkness in my life, the Lord's light was always shown through. It always shone through. Because we know that Jesus brings light into the darkest places of our lives and in the darkest times. Fear is not of the Lord. So I stand in the darkness of the crucifixion, recognizing that Jesus had to allow that darkness so we can experience the light. When we turn to the Gospel of Mark, we hear this. Mark 15, 33 through 47. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And then at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, Lamech Sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders who heard it said, look, he's calling Elijah. One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down. Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James and of Joses, and of Salome. These women were who had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. In reading this scripture, what stood out to me was the centurion's recognition of Jesus, of who Jesus was. In Jesus' death, a non-believer believed. Truly, this man was the Son of God. So the message for me is that even in death, there is hope. So if my daily life is to metaphorically die or change for a while, what does this change afford me? Where is the hope? And when I ask that question to myself, I think time. Time is the first thing that came to mind. With the offices closed, I get 2 to 2.5 hours back just by removing my commute. I will have time to cook dinner. I will have time to take a walk after dinner. I'll have more time with my husband. I get time to maybe read. I could start some big projects around the house that I've wanted to do for a while. But most importantly, I will have more time for quiet prayer. This is truly an odd time in our history, and we have to change how we do things for a while. But in this time of Lent, we can now look to new ways for us to dive deeper into our relationship with the Lord. When we look to the Gospel of Luke, we hear in Luke 23, 44 through 56. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM because of an eclipse of the sun. When the veil of the temple was torn down the middle, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, this man was innocent beyond doubt. When all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he'd taken down the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfume oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. In this scripture, I was struck by the women and their service and obedience. They stood by the cross till the end. They followed the body of Jesus until they knew where he was laid, And they went home and prepared spices and perfumed oils in order to give Jesus the proper burial after the Sabbath. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Service and obedience. These are lessons we need to learn right here and right now. Even in the midst of the death of Jesus, these women did what they could do. They prepared spices and oils in service to the Lord. It was what they could do. So what can we still do in service during this interim? Could we shop for someone in our neighborhood who may be high risk? Even shop and leave the groceries on the porch? We have a neighborhood email that went out last week offering each other the service depending on the needs of the neighbors. Simple acts of kindness can be done if we can. Think of what you can do. What can we do? The other thing that the women did was to follow the commandment. And I ask you here and now to continue to pray for the leadership of our Catholic Church. I can tell you that the decision to close Mass to the public was an excruciating decision for bishops and the priests and pastors and leadership. Remember, their whole lives are dedicated to be sacramental ministers to the people of God. They are shepherds trying to tend their flock, body, mind, and spirit. These decisions were made with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in truth and in faith. It is our call to be obedient and to do our best to keep vigil and await with hope for the Lord in the time that we can come back together at the table of the Lord. And finally, in the Gospel of John 19, 25 through 30. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in the wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Jesus gave his mother to us at the cross. So in closing, let's lift up our hearts to the Lord in thanksgiving for his sacrifice and for all the intentions we hold in our hearts today. Pray for me. Pray with me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless you and keep you safe and healthy during this time. God bless.